All right, if you will, please go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we are looking at verses 6 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through 16. Verse 6, hear ye then the word of the Lord. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by God's Spirit, interpreting the spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Father, we do thank you for thy holy word, and we pray, Lord, grant us greater understanding, grant us illumination by your Holy Spirit, Father, that we might hear and understand and walk in accordance with your word and will, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of course, today, Mother's Day as well as the Lord's Day, but we are thankful for all of the godly mothers, whether biological mothers, adoptive mothers, spiritual mothers, but we praise God for you and for your love and your care and that you've had for your families and for your church families too. We praise God for you. And we've all known many godly women in our lives, not only loving and kind, but Christian women. Christian women who are wise women. It was only through time, and we all experience this as kids as you grow up. It's only after a amount of time, perhaps when you grow a little bit older, that you're going to come and you'll see and realize just how wise your mom and your grandma really were. It's almost like a revelation for you. In fact, we still hear that, you know, from our own kids. They're grown up now, and constantly they'll make comments to Kimberly about that. They understand far more now than they ever did in trying to learn. So it's a revelation for them as they grow. In the later days, when those kids have grown up, and perhaps now having families of their own, the day comes when they'll long to hear the wisdom from their moms one more time, but perhaps mom has departed, perhaps mom has gone to be with the Lord already. So then what do? We strive then to hear and to learn from godly Christian mothers now, while you still have them. Hear them now. The wisdom that they have in Christ Jesus, is great. We must give thanks to God and pray for them and hear, be ready to learn and listen, because the days pass very swiftly. The time goes very, very fast. And you won't realize that until you're grown and you have kids of your own. And then you will see the reality of that saying that my own dad has said, when you hit 83, time goes even faster than what you think it does. It goes so fast. But here in our text this morning, Paul has written to these Corinthian Christians to answer and to explain various issues that are facing their church. One issue was their view of wisdom. Now, they believed wisdom, I believe all wisdom, even worldly wisdom, was a spiritual gift. But that is not the case. It is not the foolish, worldly wisdom that they need. They need God's wisdom, and that is what they must hear and learn. They need God's wisdom, a gospel wisdom, a wisdom that is centered upon Christ and Him crucified. So if they will have wisdom, God the Holy Spirit must give it, and only those whom God calls. So first of all, let's look in verses 6 through 9, the mystery of God's wisdom. Now here in these verses, Paul is drawing a contrast between worldly wisdom and God's wisdom. And by the way, that is a genitive possessive, so it's not just simply the wisdom of God, it's God's wisdom. Okay, it belongs to Him. Okay, and so it's not just worldly wisdom, but a contrast between that and God's wisdom, between unbelievers and believers. And we know previously from last Sunday that the world sees God's wisdom as foolishness. They consider it to be a folly. You can turn on the latest news. You'll hear all that all the time. But to the Christian, it is true wisdom. It comes from Almighty God. Yeah, here we see by the Spirit and, of course, the wisdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 6, Paul wrote, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom." Okay, or speaking wisdom. Now, first of all, right off the bat, who is the mature person that he's speaking of? Believe it or not, that actually causes some conflict today among people because they try to divvy it up, if you will, as to super saints and your regular Christian or a carnal Christian, some other kind. And so some have tried to take this mature person and say, well, that would be the super saint. And so they're essentially teaching another level of Christianity that you have to attain to somehow. They refer to the spiritual haves and the spiritual have-nots, essentially what they are trying to do. And so you need to be one of them and become a super saint, one of the haves. And of course, what is that? But that's really utter nonsense. That is not what the Bible teaches. You are not to seek some kind of second blessing whereby only then can you be super saints. After all, I have not met any super saints, and nor have you in this life. You have not met any super saints, but you have met the mature, verse 6. You have met those. The word mature comes from the same word. It means perfect. Yeah, perfect. Do you know any perfect people? Not likely. Do you know any perfect people? The only one who is perfect is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is perfect. Now in the context, those who are being referred to as mature or perfect, these are believers. These are Christians. And we mean here all true Christians. If you've been regenerated by the Spirit of God, you've been born again, you are mature in Christ. Okay, you are these mature ones that is being spoken of here. So if you have faith in Jesus Christ and you're trusting in Christ and Him crucified, you are one of these mature ones. Paul said, I continue, among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. Now, we don't want to spiritualize the rulers of this age. While it could technically refer to principalities and powers of the air, of the demonic realm and all that, here in the context, he makes no reference to that. Here in the context, he's not referring to that. He refers to the Jewish and Roman leaders. He's referring to the authorities of the day. Why are they doomed to pass away? Because they don't know God's wisdom. They don't know the wisdom of God. They've rejected the wisdom of God in favor of human wisdom. They've rejected the gospel in favor of one of their own making, where they can attain heaven and salvation simply on their performance, which they fail every single time. And he continues, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. And here the word secret comes from the word meaning mystery. You may have the word mystery in your translation, and it should probably get their attention here due to the presence of really of the day, of that time period, of the New Testament writing here to Corinth. You had these what were called mystery religions, and they were paganism, pagan mystery religions. Paul is not teaching a mystery religion, but rather the wisdom of God that was hidden before, it was concealed in the old and revealed in the new, but yet it is there. He's revealing the mystery, the wisdom of God, hidden from before, but now made manifest. Now it is revealed. What was revealed? Christ and Him crucified. Go back earlier in the chapter. That is what is revealed. The wisdom of God, referring here in our text, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark that. Understand that. The wisdom of God here in context is referring to Christ and Him crucified, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the early church father, a great one, by the way, called John Chrysostom, his last name meaning golden mouth or golden tongue, if you will, but golden mouth, from the 4th century AD, he said this, speaking of this verse. He said, wisdom is the name he gives, talking about Paul, the name he gives to the gospel, to the method of salvation, the being saved by the cross, the perfect of those who believe. And that's from the 4th century. It's in the 300s AD. And they understood that. It was not a confusion at all for them. And so the mystery of God's wisdom is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ and Him crucified. It is God's plan of redemption conceived of and realized. Okay, when was it conceived and decreed? Literally foreordained, predestined in eternity past, but fulfilled and realized in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So from beginning to the end, this was God's plan. This is revealed unto you, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is marvelous and it is wonderful and takes priority in the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of all throughout the Word as we come back and focus upon Christ. And we must always rejoice and give thanks to God for that. This is God's wisdom to save those who believe. And he says, Paul says here, these are mature ones, the perfect ones. These are Christians. Not super saints, just Christians. If you have faith in Christ, he's speaking to you. If you're trusting in Christ, he's talking to you here. The mature ones. And we'll understand more next week, by the way. You don't want to miss that one. That should be a lot of fun. But none of the rulers of this age understood this. They didn't understand the gospel. They didn't understand the wisdom of God and redemption. They didn't understand all of this. But you do. You do. If those rulers knew, if they truly knew and truly understood God's wisdom and all of this, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Even these rulers from this time period, as ungodly as they were, as pagan as they were, even they would not be stupid enough to try and kill the Son of God. If they really knew, this man is God in flesh. Do you think they would have been too quick to say, let's go ahead and try to kill him, when he could simply will it and they would die on the spot? Do you think even they would be so foolish to do that if they really understood who Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished? So what they did in ignorance. And because what they did in ignorance was to crucify the Lord of glory on the cross, what did Jesus pray from the cross? He prays for them, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. They do this in ignorance. He's not saying they're forgiven of all of their sins of what they've ever committed, but what they just did to the Lord of glory, they did in ignorance, and they did not know who he truly is. God's wisdom is hidden from the world until it is revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was hidden until then. It was revealed then. Verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. What things is He speaking of here in the context? It is God's wisdom that He's speaking of. The wisdom of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are the things spoken of that God has prepared for those who love Him. He is not speaking of, in the context right here, He's not speaking about, you know, the streets of gold and all the wonderful, glorious things that are waiting for us in heaven. Those things are true and they are waiting for us, but that's not what He's speaking of here in the context. He is speaking of, it relates to, of Christ, the Lord of glory, revealed by the Spirit through the gospel to save those who believe. This passage is about the gospel. It is about the good news of Christ and Him crucified. So remember that when you hear people begin to quote the passage or the verses, usually out of context. I know they mean well, but that's not what He is addressing in a context. He's speaking of the gospel here. He's talking of the wisdom of God and His redeeming of His sheep. Okay? Usually I hear people reflect on what God is has waiting for them. You know, what God has waiting for us, as if we have no clue what God is speaking of in the text. And so Paul makes it clear for us as we consider our second point. Look at verse 10 through 13. Here we see the revealer of God's wisdom. Now here Paul is directly referring to verse 9. And he says, these things, as a continuation of that verse, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Now these things are made known to us. God's plan of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has revealed this to us. How? By the Holy Spirit of God. The tongues of babes, right? The mouths of babes. He's revealed it to us by the Holy Spirit. This plan, this redemptive, salvific plan was decreed, you may have in your translation. It was foreordained by God. That is the word being translated. It is accomplished by the Son of God. It is applied to us by the Holy Spirit of God. And if the Spirit does not reveal the gospel of Christ and Him crucified, then you would never know Jesus Christ. It comes as a revelation by the Spirit of God. You would not know Christ. You would not be saved. It is the work of the Spirit of God. He is the revealer of God's wisdom. He is the grand revealer, if you will, the revealer of the gospel. He opens the heart and suddenly I understand, I see Christ, I believe. Because the heart's been opened by the Spirit. And he's, ah, how wonderful the plan of salvation to save sinners like me, to save us. The gospel cannot be known through human wisdom. Now, I'm not saying they can't pick up a Bible and read through and kind of get some superficial, but they are not going to believe and understand it as it is. It's not known through human wisdom and understanding. They are corrupt, the understanding of the depraved man. They're corrupt. The reasoning is depraved. It's sinful. They are dead in sin and trespasses. Touched by them body and soul. They must be regenerated by the Spirit of God who opens the heart and reveals Christ to them. And that's when they fall to their knees and they say, oh Lord, I believe. Then and only then. Okay, and the Holy Spirit opens the heart and the mind. Only the Spirit of God is qualified to reveal the gospel. Only He can reveal the gospel because, as we read, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Because the Spirit is God, and He searches all of the infinity of God. And these things, especially you're talking about the plan of salvation and the gospel, he's revealed to us. He's revealed them to you and me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. One scholar said this. He said it was God's predetermined purpose to reveal these things to those who love him. Kind of summed up a little bit what I said there. The Spirit searches everything. He knows the gospel, okay? He knows the plan. He's part of that. He knows the plan. After all, he reveals this plan to Christ's sheep. Remember again, Jesus told the Pharisees, "You do not believe in me because you're not one of my sheep." Point blank. If they were one of the sheep, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And they would not follow him. Why is it that some people believe the gospel and some people don't? Is there something good about you that God decided to save your soul and not the soul of your neighbor or the ungodly man or woman down the street? Is it something that they deserve? No, not at all. Why do some believe the gospel and some don't? It is the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of the gospel. He opens the heart. You're not called to go out. You cannot save a soul. You take the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will do the saving of souls. All right, Holy Spirit will open the heart so they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and they are saved. The Holy Spirit is the revealer. Look at verse 10 again. 10 through 13 here. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we are received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. But we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Or you may have spiritualities or spirituals, but basically that's what we see here. In his particular passage, verses 10 through 13, has one main point to that. One main point is this: no one can understand the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They cannot understand the wisdom of God unless it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. It must be revealed to them by the Spirit of God, or they will not hear, they will not believe, they will not understand. So it's a mystery for them. And what is the mystery? That God will only save sinners through the cross of Christ, period. No other way, no other gospel, no other Savior, no other salvation, no other possibility of entering into heaven but except on this extremely narrow road. Remember the narrow road that Jesus spoke of? The narrow road, which is who is the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus Christ himself. Now some people think, and by the way, I think they say this, they surely don't know what they mean when they say this, but some people think that the Reformed, whether you're Reformed, you're Presbyterian, Reformed Baptist, or whatever, they think that the Reformed, of whatever flavor they may be, they think that they ignore the Holy Spirit. Not at all. We speak probably more about the Holy Spirit than anyone around as far as being Reformed. So it's on the contrary to all that. The Reformed acknowledge the extreme importance, the role, the work of this divine Holy Spirit who is God, the third person of the Trinity. And we do so more than all the others. The greatest of theological works on the Holy Spirit. And I got a massive... Each one is like that thick. Two massive volumes by John Owen on the Pneumatologia. It's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. We have more that is there, that's been written about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God than all of them. Because usually they digress into what you can do or what you can be. Okay, but the greatest theological works of the Spirit are written by solid biblical Christian Reformed pastors and theologians like John Owen, who's one of them. So don't fall for it if someone tries to tell you that. that is not true at all. We rely upon the Holy Spirit every single day, even in the preaching of the gospel. I know as I proclaim Christ and Him crucified, I cannot change a soul. But the Holy Spirit does and can and will. And so I rely upon the Spirit of God to bring the Word of God home to your heart and your mind and understanding. I can't do it. The Holy Spirit can. Doesn't take screaming or shouting, and though I may do that sometimes, but doesn't take. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit who comes and opens the heart and reveals it to you. Okay? The Holy Spirit reveals the gospel to those whom God has called, which leads us, thirdly, to consider the reception of God's wisdom here in verses 14 and 16. Look at these. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Well, literally, natural man, but it's just being generic here. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly or foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person, who's that? That's Christians. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But as on the church sign, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You are indwelled by the Spirit of God. You have the mind of Christ. So here in these particular verses, we see the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man or woman, okay? Or we see the difference between unbelievers and believers, Christians and non-Christians. Now certainly, we now understand that the gospel, I know I've beat that horse long enough, but we all understand now that the gospel cannot be spiritually discerned and understood by an unbeliever, okay? So to the unbeliever, the gospel is foolishness. To the believer, the gospel is life in Christ. It's forgiveness of sin. It's glory. It's reconciliation. It is God's wisdom for salvation. To the unbeliever, he will not accept the gospel. He will not have any desire for Christ and Him crucified. He thinks it's foolishness. He cannot. He will not. He desires not to believe because the Spirit is a great revealer, not man. Not man. The unbeliever lacks the spiritual ability to grasp the gospel, and so they remain in their sins. They are unable to grasp it. They need to be born again. They need the Spirit of God to regenerate their hearts so they might hear the gospel, repent and believe, and embrace Christ as He is freely offered in the gospel. And so since they refuse, they remain in their sins. One commentator said this, "This, of course, presents great problems for all forms of Arminianism." Okay? Semi-Pelagians, same problem, same thing. "And views of decisional regeneration, and which is argued that sinners have it within themselves the ability to take that first step toward God." I joke around, you know, that I don't know which country Western singer it was, but he said if he'll take one step, he'll take two. What's the problem with that? Sinner can't take that first step. Sinner has no desire to take that first step. God must take that first step, and He does so by the Spirit of God. Paul says quite the opposite. He said, "The natural person does not accept the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because," here in our text, "they are spiritually discerned." And what's wrong with them? The natural man is spiritually dead. They have no discernment. And so that which they do, you know, against the body of Christ around the world, they do in their own ignorance and to their own chagrin. But the spiritual man or woman, the person, the Christian, can judge these things. because they are revealed to him or her by the Spirit of God. This person sees Christ as the center of everything, as the center of their lives, the center of their families, of all of life and forgiveness and reconciliation. That is what the spiritual person sees. The Christian will judge things by grace, always by grace. And because of why? Because of Christ and Him crucified. No one can judge the Christian or condemn him because he's in Christ. Who will lay a charge against God's elect? No one will. Verse 16, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now what does that mean exactly? It means we are illuminated, okay, by the Spirit of God. We are granted, given understanding. Our eyes are opened, however you want to phrase that. We are illuminated by the Spirit of God because we are, as Christians, trusting in Christ alone. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And we are kept saved by the Spirit of God for the day of redemption. Kept in Christ, sealed by the Spirit for that day. And this Holy Spirit who dwells within you, He knows the mind of God. He knows the deep riches of God. He knows all of it. And He, in our text, reveals it to us. Reveals God's wisdom in the cross of Christ to us. And we rejoice for Him. All Christians, understand, not second blessing, all Christians have the mind of Christ. If you know Christ, you do. Whether you think so or not, you do. But are we walking, following in the steps of Christ? Are we walking in that wisdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we walking in that knowledge of the mind of Christ revealed unto us by the Spirit of God? Do we think as Christ thinks? I'm not asking you what would Jesus do. I mean, are your thoughts after those things that Christ thinks on? Do you love what Jesus loves? And one of those things, by the way, is He loves His church. He loves His body. He's the head of it. He loves His sheep. He loves them and gave His life for them. But do we think as Christ thinks? Do we live as He commands us to live? Because we need to. And if we aren't, we need to start doing so. And we need to pray in reliance upon the Holy Spirit of God to keep on revealing more and more of the wisdom of God and the salvation of God in Christ Jesus, of which and through whom we have forgiveness, life, reconciliation, joy, boldness to declare Christ to a world that doesn't know Him. We bash the pagans and the heathens or whatever else out there. They don't know Christ. And they're following after their father, the devil, right now. But I pray that God, through your witness, not just giving your testimony, but declaring Christ and Him crucified, declaring the wisdom of God to them, that the Holy Spirit will open their hearts and you'll see them come to faith as well. And what a great joy that will be for you. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Thy holy word. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us, Lord, who reveals those deep riches of Christ to us, who opens our hearts and our minds and to understand with greater clarity day by day the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Good news. Good news. And Lord, let us go forth on this day with great joy, with that good news, that grand news of Christ and Him crucified, who came to save sinners just like us. Father, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's all go ahead now and let's turn your hymnals to number 400 and